Dalad Mal Cheshvan, Friday the 11th of November, Rabbi Shimon Kaplan, the Nisoyon of the Akedah.
I want to speak about the Nisoyon of Akedah. Let's start off with a story. There's a sefer called Mekadshei Hashem, and of Tziyish Meisels, he brings various stories that he encountered during his years in the camps, in the concentration camps during the Holocaust. He brings a story, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Tovshi and Dalad, 1944, the Nazis, Yimach Shalom, they put a stick in the ground and they asked everybody to file past. Whoever wouldn't reach the top of the stick would be separated and be sent to their deaths. And thousands of people had to file past. Mainly it was youngsters who never reached the top of the stick. Yeah, the height. They never reached the height. And they separated these youngsters, 1,400 of them, in a separate barrack, to be killed. And there was a father whose only son was amongst these 1,400, and he came to the Tziyish Meisels, who was a poisek, and he asked him, he said he managed to smuggle into camp some diamonds, and he feels he's got to protect him, he would be able to bribe a guard to release his son. But he knows that if the guard releases his son, they'll take someone else instead, so the guard shouldn't be caught. Is it mutter for him to pay the guard to release his son, knowing that somebody else will be taking his place? But the Tziyish Meisels writes in the sefer, he didn't want to answer the question. And the Yid said to him, "Why aren't you answering me? From your silence, it seems it's forbidden to me to do this. If that's the halacha, I'm prepared to accept that my son's going to be killed, my only son." And that's what happened. And when we read the Holocaust diaries, we read so many stories how Yidden were prepared to be moisa nefesh, their children, for the Rabbeinu Shleilam. People were prepared to take the children to the camps to be killed rather than let them grow up as goyim. And then we can ask a question. We find in the Torah, in the Nesoyin HaAkedah, when Akshboch told Yitzchak to shecht his son on the Mizbeach, we find so much fuss made about the Akedah. Chazal tell us this was the ultimate Nisoyan. Avram, Avram, Avram de la'elok, Avram de la'sato. At this moment he reached the pinnacle of his potential. His mighty, all his koiches and apoil. We find in Chazal so many beautiful things written about the Nisoyan Akedah. We think about it in today's day and age, we've seen people be moisa nefesh themselves, their children, leman Hashem. So what exactly is the Nisoyon HaAkedah? Another question, the Gemara Sanhedrin on the Pasuk, Vayiach HaDvarim Eile, says the Gemara Sanhedrin, the Satan came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu complaining, "You gave Avraham Avinu a son called Yitzchak after so many years, miraculously. He's made a tremendous banquet in honor of his son when he reached the age of three. He didn't offer one korban. He's forgotten about you." Amaloi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Satan, "You think he made the banquet for his son? I'll prove it to you. I'll tell him to slaughter his son and do it immediately." He never made it for his son. "I'll show you how loyal he is to me." And the question that the Farshim ask is, the Satan came with a tiger. He's made a banquet for his son. He's forgotten about you, Akash Bohu. He says, "Akash Bohu, he didn't do it for his son. I'll prove it to you. He'll offer him up as a korban." What type of answer is that? He did it for his son. He forgot about Akash Bohu. Now Akash Bohu tells him to offer Yitzhak as an Akedah, then he's prepared to go ahead and do it. Maybe he did it for his son, and now he's doing something for Akash Bohu. What does it mean? Do you think he did it for his son? I'll prove he didn't do it for his son. How is that going to be a proof that the banquet wasn't for his son? There are two questions, but there are many mahalchim to answer to try and understand what was so great about the Nisoyon HaAkedah. Let's say if you're learning a beautiful mahalach, a beautiful understanding of the Akedah, from Rav Shach Zichron Levracha in his Akdama to his Sefer, which gives us a completely different dimension to the Nisoyon and to the Madrega of Avraham Avinu. Chazal tell us that the Nevi'im were nisnaba b'aspeklaria she'enom ira. When they had a Nevuah, it was a vision, an unclear vision. As Reb Chaim Volozhin explains, If you take water and put it into a red bottle, it looks red. A blue bottle, it looks blue. The Navi, except for Moshe Rabbeinu, he saw a vision and he had to translate what the vision was, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted from him. A person sees things according to his personality, according to his experiences, according to the way he wants to see things. We can have an argument, an ethical argument, people taking different sides, and being strong in their position, very often it's built on their own negia, their own bias, their own personal reasons why they took that side of the argument. A famous example, the Civil War in America between the North and the South, there was literally a line running across America called the Mason-Dixon Line, where everybody in the North believed slavery was a bad thing. And everybody in the South felt slavery is a good thing. At the time, it was very strange. We have differences of opinion in a town, in a village, in the same community. How can it be people of the North were against slavery, people of the South were for slavery? And they felt so strongly about it, they went to war. It was a war over a moral issue, not over land. And historians, when they looked into it, they understood the reason. The reason was, in the South, the main business was cotton plantations, which were only viable business. It was only a viable business if you could have free or cheap labour. If you start paying employees to cut and harvest the cotton and to plant the cotton, it's not a viable business. So the people in the South, they claimed the blacks were subhuman. They had all Torahs, wrote pamphlets and articles why it was right, in order, right to enslave the blacks. The people of the North, they had a completely different type of businesses, heavy industry. They didn't need the slaves to make profitable businesses. And therefore, they had arguments why slavery was wrong. A person always looks at a situation from his own vantage point. You look at the Shalit deal just now. It's phenomenal how around the world, everybody's got their own way of translating it, of giving their opinion on the deal. Every person sees it the way he sees it. The Navi had to work out exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted from him. A Navi could make a mistake in translating the Nevuah. As we find once or twice now, the Navi made a mistake. He translated the Nevuah according to his Negias, according to his Midas. Let's think for a moment. What does it mean to offer up a carbon on his Mizbeach? Adam HaRishon, Noach, and Avram all brought korbanos. They weren't told to do so. They were so great, they understood what was going on in the heavenly worlds, and they understood that bringing a korban is a good thing. Just like they understood that bringing a korban was a good thing, they understood by sacrificing a human being was a bad thing. If bringing a korban caused tikkunim in the Lamas Elyonim, bringing a human being as a sacrifice caused things to start fusing in the upper worlds. They could understand that, they knew that. So much so, Avraham Avinu went around the world telling people about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, telling them how to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and telling them it's forbidden to offer a human sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avraham Avinu knew it. There's no tikkun by offering a human sacrifice. He knew as well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Ki b'Yitzchak yikar l'chazara." Yitzchak is going to be the future. He had that nevuah before he was tested within the Soin HaKedah. With all these things in mind, there was major reasons why Avraham Avinu would translate the nevuah of the HaKedah in a different way. Thinking about the Gevald Yechil Hashem, if people heard what he did. Had there been the slightest love towards Yitzchak, as we understand love and physical connection with our children, then Avraham Avinu would have interpreted the Nevuah in a completely different way. And he would have backed up his interpretation by the fact that there's no tikkun by offering up a human sacrifice, backed it up by the promise, Ki b'Yitzchak yikar l'chazara, backed it up by the Chilul Hashem that would be caused if people heard what he was doing. All these reasons would back him up in interpreting the Nevuah in a different way. If there would be the slightest avo gashmis towards Yitzchak. The Chabad Chaim, Zechorin Levracha, he had a son who was very close to him. And that son helped him bring out his svarim. Chofetz Chaim lived to an old age, and his son died before him, Rebbe Avraham. Chofetz Chaim at the Levaya stood up and gave a hesped. And he said over that in the year of Tach V'Tat, those terrible years where hundreds of thousands of Yidden were killed, since Bashal Minki, they literally, the Cossacks descended to the village and wiped out all the Yidden from that village. Says the Chofetz Chaim, I don't know how he knew this story, probably Baruch HaKodesh, that the Cossacks came to a village and the first house they barged into was inhabited by an almona who had one son, a teenage boy. Although normally they killed all the Yidden, they wanted to cause tremendous anguish to this almona. They killed the son in front of her and they let her live. She should live with her anguish. Said the Chofetz Chaim, this was a great lady, and after it killed the son, she said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all my life, the last 14, 15 years, I've done a terrible Avera. When I say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when I say in Shema, Bechol Levavcha, that I'm supposed to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with my whole heart, I've always felt guilty. My heart is not filled with love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Part of the love in my heart is towards my son. From now onwards, said this Yidina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to say Krishna properly. It's going to be Bechol Levavcha for you. Said the Chofetz Chaim, Gewaldige Madrega, until now, there was a compartment in my heart which was filled with love for you, Avraham, my son Avraham. Now, that compartment is empty. I'm going to fill it with love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Said the Chofetz Chaim, it's documented. That's what he said at the Hesped. You think about this. However great we know the Chofetz Chaim was, in this famous story of the Dibbuk said the Chofetz Chaim in Shemayim is considered a ton of cotton. We cannot fathom who the Chofetz Chaim was. But at the young age, the little boy, as Rav Ochber said, when the Chofetz Chaim hid himself in a shul and saw the Shamas learn Kabbalah, the Chofetz Chaim saw a flame round the Shamas. And Dayan Grosner Zichron Livracha told this over to Rav Ochber. From the Chofetz Chaim, Rav Ochber said, he's not impressed by the fact that Menachem had a fire around him when he learned Torah. He's impressed by the fact that Chofetz Chaim as a young boy could see a spiritual fire. We cannot fathom the greatness of Chofetz Chaim. But Chofetz Chaim said to the Hesped that he had a physical love, an emotional love towards his son Rebbe Avraham. Avraham Avinu was much greater than that. Had Avraham Avinu had any compartment in his heart of love towards his son, that would have made a negiah for him to interpret the Nevuah in a different way. And as the Chaim Volozhin writes, there were dozens of ways to interpret each Nevuah. This gives us a whole new insight into Avraham Avinu, who Avraham Avinu was and what the Nesoyin Akedah was. It was a vision. It was up to the Novi to put aside all his personal negiahs just to see clearly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. If the Novi wasn't on the highest Madrega, he would interpret the Nevuah wrong. And he would justify it so easily. Like Avraham could have justified it. Ki b'Yitzchok Yikara Chazara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised, Yitzchok will be the future. Nothing's going to happen if Hashem Yitzchok is a Lomas Elyonim. It's going to make a kilkul. Nechilul Hashem. There's so many reasons for him to translate differently. So as to justify him translating it differently, had there been the slightest connection, as we understand the connection between one human being and another, with his son, not total love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he would interpret the Nevuah in a different way completely. He asked the question that we find in our generation, are people on a Madrega to allow their son to be killed because of for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's all very well when it's clear cut that this man in the camps is not allowed to save his son because somebody else is going to get killed in his place. It's clear cut what that law is. When a person knows what's right and wrong with clarity, even an Erech Yid, of course it's a Madrega, can be on a Madrega to give up the life of his son for HaKadosh Baruch Hu when it's clear. Then the Soyan Akedah was 1,000 times greater than that. It wasn't clear. It was up to Avraham Avinu to interpret, and he could only interpret the Nevuah properly if there was no negir whatsoever towards his son. That's the Madrega of the office. We find the same thing by Yaakov Avinu. We learn from the Parshas, the previous time, we go through the Parshas of Yosef being sold into slavery. We come to Vayigash, we get very emotional. We get carried away. And they say with the Meister, he once made a play in pre-war Europe of the Mechiras Yosef, and they played it very well, and a lady in the audience got up and waved a stick, "Leave him alone, he's done nothing wrong." We get so carried away sometimes by the story, we look at it with our eyes. Chazal tell us, the Medayke from Apostle, when Yosef and Yaakov met at the end of so many years, can you imagine the emotional reunion, the feelings at the time? That's how we look at it, with our understanding. Shteit in the Chazal, that Yosef cried, Yaakov didn't cry. Well, Chazal tell us, Yaakov was saying Krishna. This final moment had arrived, after all these years, and at that moment, when they met, Yaakov was busy saying Krishna. We think, look, it wasn't probably Sosman Krishna. Why do you have to pick to say Krishna at that moment? At that moment, you had to say Krishna. Shteit in Svarim HaMoedig HaPshat. That the Pshat, as we understand this very well, according to what we just said, that Pshat is that when we read the story, we're reading it wrong. We don't understand Yaakov's anguish. We don't understand what it means, Yaakov's love for Yosef. This is much, much beyond our comprehension, our understanding. Yaakov was worried at that moment of reunion, maybe they'll creep into his heart a small amount of love for a child, as we know love for a child. And Yaakov was in the Madrega of Levadoi, the Niskav Hashem Levadoi, Vosa Yaakov Levadoi, not a song, which put these two psukim together, it's a medrash. Yaakov was Levadoi with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his picture was Chokuk in the Kisei HaKovod, he was totally connected constantly with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his love was total towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Had there been one moment in his life where 1% of love would have been directed to his son, Yaakov couldn't allow that. At the moment when they met after so many years, Yaakov was worried. Maybe at this moment, he will disconnect himself, even a drop from his connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore he said, Krishna, b'chol levavcha, to be mechazik himself, it's b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha. This is the madrega of the others. It's a madrega we cannot, b'chlal, understand. It's a madrega far beyond us, far beyond the gedolim of our time. This is a madrega which is totally out of our realm of understanding. We understand now the Gemara Sanhedrin, Pei Testament base. The famous Gemara, the Gemara writes, the Sultan came to complain, look, he's looking after his son, he's forgotten about you. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klum Osa Ela B'Shvil Banoi, did he do it for his son? I'm going to ask him to shecht his son, he'll do it. So everybody asks him, the Gemara, maybe he did do it for his son, now he's doing something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The answer is, if he did it for his son, because he had an emotional or physical connection with his son, as we understand a connection with other people, then when I tell him to shecht his son, he's not going to understand what I'm telling him. Because it's going to be a vision, baspeklaria, she'ein amirah, it's b'maris, b'chiddes, as the Pasuk tells us, all the neviim saw their nevuah, b'mara b'chiddes, with mesholim, with visions, there was no clarity in what they saw. They had to work it and decipher it themselves. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll prove you it wasn't for his son. Everything he does is for me. Because if he did it for his son, he wouldn't understand what I'm telling him to do when I attempt to offer his son up as an Akedah. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for me. I'll prove it to you. And it was proved that he didn't do it for Yitzchak. Had he done it for Yitzchak, he wouldn't have understood what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted from him when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to offer Yitzchak up as an Akedah. It's interesting, the Schmeitzer, the Ptsois, he writes in Zagdoma that after the Akedah it doesn't say Asher Ahavto. Only before the Akedah. Says the Schmeitzer, because after the Akedah it was proven that Avraham Avinu didn't have any physical love, as we understand love, towards his son. It was all, everything he was doing in this world was for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. That's why the word Asher Ahavto is missing after the Akedah. The Maisa, it's very interesting, the Shlach HaKadosh brings from the Zayah HaKadosh. Often we do something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we feel we're going to lose out in the future. The Zayah HaKadosh writes, the Arachayim is Meramas to the Zayah HaKadosh, that b'shas HaKadosh, the neshama of Yitzchak was replaced with a different neshama. Zayah HaKadosh, we don't know what this means exactly, but the simple translation means that his neshama was changed to a different type of neshama. Because after Zayah HaKadosh, that the original neshama came with sitra the nukva. He was unable to have children. Now at this moment, the neshama was changed and swapped around. He was able to have children. Right? So Rachayim HaKadosh. That's why the parsha of the latest Rivka was immediately after the Akedah. Because now he was able to have children. That's why his Ben Zug was born. A person thinks, if I do something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to lose out. We see Faket. A person never loses out by doing something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avram thought, might have thought, this is the end. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was reversed. The Nevuah of Kibi Yitzchak Yikarna Chazara, and here, it was just the opposite. Because of that Kedah, that's why it's Kibi Yitzchak Yikarna Chazara. And we find the same thing right throughout the Torah. Rachel gave the simonim over to Leah. She felt she was giving away her future. Chazal tells us, the pasuk tells us, she was an akara. Vayizker lekim es Rachel. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu remember? The Mesira simonim. She gave the simonim over to Leah. That was the merit which enabled her to have children. She felt she was giving away her future. That's what got her future. When a person gives to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person doesn't lose out. And very often we find, very often, from the action that he's doing in giving away, that's the action that's giving him. That's something we can learn from the Akedah. There's another point we can learn from the Akedah, is this point. Of course, we're not in the Madrega of Aram Avinu, how our decisions in life are so often based on our own perspective, on our own negias. Just finish up with a lovely story. It's very hard to say over stories nowadays because everything's in print. Even stories you imagine are already in print. But this is a story I heard from Chaim Chatzan, Zayn Gesund. He told me he heard it from the person himself. I haven't seen it yet in print, I haven't read every book, but I've never heard anybody say over the story. A beautiful story, just how often we're so carried away with our negias, we don't see the way we should be seeing things. As Mr. Sharm writes, that this world, this world is compared to darkness. Writes Mr. Sharm, in darkness you make two mistakes. In darkness, you make a mistake, you don't see things. A person can walk along the street and bang into a lamppost. In darkness, you also mistake one thing for something else. A person walking along the street, and he wants to post a letter, and he starts putting it down to somebody's throat. He mistakes a postbox for a person for a postbox. A person makes a mistake in what he's seeing. There's two mistakes a person can make at night. Right, this is a show, a person can be so convinced in his way of life and what he's doing is right, he can be hands of riots, he doesn't realize that it's all based on his negia. Life is darkness, the world is darkness, we've got to look for advice, as Mr. Sharma writes, from those who are already out of the darkness, who are above the maze, they can direct us where to go and how to conduct our lives. A beautiful story. Oh, remember, this Dr. Baruch Goldstein, I think that was about 20 years ago already, when one morning he woke up, he walked into an Arab mosque, he started firing indiscriminately, killing Arabs, and subsequently he was killed. At the time, it was very embarrassing for Eden all around the world. We're not terrorists. This was a terrorist act by Eid. It was a Shema Shabbos, Torah, Mitzvahs. It was very embarrassing. The whole world condemned it. And that's its role. The leaders condemned it. Rightly so. This is not something that we condone, to go and fire people worshipping in a mosque, firing anybody. There was a lot of condemnation. This man grew up in the Haredi world, and in the secular society in Eretz Yisrael, they condemned this acts of violence, the product of the Haredi world. And the proof is that none of the Gedolim have written out to condemn this act. So a few Rabbonim and Rosh Shivas went to Rav Shach, Zichron Lebracha. And they asked Rav Shach if they could formulate a letter condemning this act of violence, and Rav Shach should sign the letter. They told him what they want to write in the letter, and they asked him, could they bring the letter to Rav Shach and he should sign it, and they could publicize the letter, and therefore show that this is not something that we teach our youngsters, or teach, that's not the chinuch we give, to go around killing innocent people. Rav Shach wasn't interested. He didn't want to listen to them, and he sent them on their way. They didn't understand why. Why should he write this letter? What's wrong? They're accusing us of being in league with this man. Why wouldn't you write such a letter? Why not? There's one person who said over the story to Rav Chaim Otzler, who went back to Rav Shach in the evening and begged Rav Shach, you're my Rebbe, I learned upon the Pondavish, I learned by you, there must be a reason, maybe I can learn something for the reason why you don't assign this letter. So Shach said, you don't understand yourself. It's very simple. He says, Dr. Baruch Goldstein, I don't know who he is, but it's possible he's got a wife and children. It's very possible. I think I understand. He's got a family. Let's think about this family for a moment. Their husband, this doctor, might have been a good person, and he was actually a very good person, a very kind person. And he would treat Arabs and Jews alike, without differentiating between them. He was a good person. They know this man, this husband and father, being a good, kind person, for many, many years. One morning, he woke up after a night treating somebody for a blown-off leg, being involved in a bomb accident. Shach said this could have happened. And something flicked in his brain. He lost control of himself. People do lose control of themselves sometimes. Of course he did a terrible thing. But think for a moment. Think what the papers are writing, what the leaders around the world are writing, what the leaders in Israel are writing. Everyone's condemning this man, making him look like an animal. Think of the wife and children. They understand this man flipped. Something fused in his brain went crazy. There's not one good word about him. He says, you want me to write a letter to condemn what he did? That will add to the aggravation of Alman and the Yisraelim. It's going to add to their pain. Even Rav Shach writing a letter against my husband. There's no nice word said about him. Why do you want me to write this letter? When you go on the Eged bus, the bus driver shouldn't make you a nasty comment. Does that give me a right to add to the pain of this almona? There's an almona and children here. And the man was shocked. Who thought about an almona? Who thought about children? You go to a God, when you go to Das Torah, he sees things like the Sid Shalom writes, from above the maze. We're in darkness. We see things only for our benefit, the way we want to see them. But the God Lador sees everything from above. Completely different look, completely different opinion, completely different understanding of the situation, taking everything into account. I refuse to write such a letter. I've got no license to cause pain to this almona, just that we should save face and feel more comfortable in the street. We always decide things according to our negias. That's when we've got Gedolim. And this was the Nesayin of Avraham Avinu. He was on his own. There was nobody there to help him. He saw this vision which could be interpreted, as Reb Chaim Volozhin writes, in dozens of ways. Maybe make a pidyon haben. Who knows what ways you could interpret this vision. It was a misty vision through a frosted glass. If Avraham Avinu had any connection with his son, as we understand connections, had he been the Madrega of the Chofetz Chaim, he wouldn't have shechted his son. This was a Madrega of the Ovis, far, far beyond our comprehension. He saw everything with a clarity. That's why we say in Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, V'akeidas Yitzchak Lazara Yayin Barachim Tizkor. It's something completely beyond our comprehension, the Madrega of Avraham Avinu. And that Madrega is a Madrega totally beyond anything we can understand. That was Mitzvah in Akedah.